Okay, this next segment is an opportunity for all of us to really share with one another and be joints of supply, channels of encouragement, just a chance to connect together as members of this body. So basically what it's going to be is an open mic, and we're inviting anyone to come forward. And there's a variety of things that you could talk about. You might want to think about it for a moment first. But what are you thankful for? Looking back over, especially over the last year, say, something you're particularly thankful to God for. What is something that has encouraged you? What is something you need prayer for? What's a testimony of God's work in your life that you'd like to share? Those are examples of the kinds of things that would be appropriate to share here, and just wanting you to come forward, and it could be very brief, or it could be a little bit longer, but it's a chance for us to connect with one another and share our hearts with one another in this body of Christ. So let's pray, and then we'll get started with that. Thank you, Lord, that you have joined us together, first with yourself and then with one another in this body. And thank you that it is your design and your desire that we would indeed share our lives with one another. I pray you would use this time to that end. We just turn it over to you. We entrust it to you and ask you, Lord, to use this time to encourage and to build and to renew by your Spirit and through one another in Christ. Amen.
Guess what? I've got a really good praise here. I just walked up here. Actually, it's really good because this time last year, I was laid up. I could not really get out of bed. I couldn't do anything like that. I was really, really miserable. So I can walk up here now, so that's a big deal. But I guess my other big praise is actually something that happened this last week. I just helped my sister move from Texas to Oklahoma. And without going into too many details, it was a very emotional and very trying time. But we did it all within 24 hours. We moved a whole house, and it was a very intense situation, but very long, involved story, but to shorten it up, God was very visible in everything we did. He had everything fall into place the way they were supposed to be. We had a bunch of hitches, but for some reason, it all worked out, and I know why that reason is. That's because of God. So it was really amazing to see him work in that way. So, yay!
I was just one week especially encouraged by the therefore since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, etc., that passage, and then that following Sunday there was a sermon about that, I think, and about Romans 12, I think, and it just really encouraged me to remember how so many people had run the race before and had won, and they were going through basically the same troubles that I am and have and will go through. And so it just encouraged me to think of all the people running now and all the people who have run and made it, proving that it can be won. So.
Hi, I don't know most of your names, but I just wanted to say that I've been really encouraged over the past 6 months or so that my family has been part of Cornerstone, and we have moved here officially from Wisconsin now, so we are actually here. But over the past 6 months, when our family didn't really know what we were doing or where we would be living, just felt really loved and cared for by so many people in this church, and just wanted to say thank you for showing us hospitality and for also caring about learning the names of our kids and just inviting us to your homes and other various ways you've helped. So thank you.
I wanted to share with you guys a story of God using our thing for good in my life and in other people's lives. This summer, I really wanted to get out of the holy huddle, get out there among the lost, and build friendships and hopefully get gospel opportunities. So I started playing Ultimate Frisbee on Monday nights at Liberty Memorial. And Matthew and Ty and Ethan and Timothy have come along for that. And as we have been there, one guy in particular that we've made friends with, his name is Dylan. And Dylan's a very fun, outgoing guy, very welcoming, very kind. But don't know if he's a Christian or not. And anyhow, a lot of you know I was dating a girl named Stephanie, and that didn't work out, and it was very hard, still is. But 3 weeks ago, she was at Ultimate Frisbee, and Dylan was subbing out, so he was on the sidelines when I arrived, and I had Ethan and Ida with me. And Dylan, you know, started talking to them, says, "Who do you guys all know here?" And the only person that they knew was Stephanie. And so he's like, "Well, how do you guys know her?" And so then it came out that Stephanie and I had been dating. And he's like, "Oh, man, that must be really hard." And I said, "Yeah, it is." And unbeknownst to me, 2 days previous, Dylan had broken up with his girlfriend. And he didn't tell us that. But the following Monday, he seemed so discouraged and depressed. And I was like, "Man, what's going on with him?" And normally after Frisbee's over, everybody sticks around and talks, and it's just like everyone evaporated. They were gone. And I asked him, "So what's going on?" And so he shared that with me. And he asked how I was doing. And I got to tell him how God had been sustaining me and giving me grace through the pain and the difficulty, and how my hope was in him. And so it's just really neat to be able to share all that with him and have an opportunity that I never would have had otherwise through what has happened in the past. And I got to pray for him, and he wants to hang out even though now Frisbee's over because it gets too dark. But I was really encouraged by that, and if you guys could be praying for him, that would be awesome.
I'm going to somehow piggyback on that. I mean, not directly, but just it has to do with what we experience, God has every purpose and intention and resolution to work somehow. Like all of the trials, tribulations, temptations that we resist and the ones we don't. That's kind of thing. I'm just, because I oftentimes want, I catch myself going, you know, that get into that, why is this happening to me? Kind of thinking like, why is this bad thing happening to me? Or why does this happen? Or why this and that? And then I'm like, how many times does this have to happen for me to like remember right away that this is normal to have a trial or something painful? And I'm saying it because I want to get to what I was just reminded of, because I've, after singing the songs today, I was immediately, like oftentimes, thoughts of just turning into myself. And I'm like, what is the deal? And because we have an adversary who does not want us to rejoice in the Lord. And who is that? Yes, it's okay to say his name as long, you know. Don't give him too much attention, but just the right amount. Just to know who the enemy is. But just, he's very subtle and crafty, and he uses our trials and tribulations, temptations, to get us a little tiny little question of God, little tiny whisper, and then if you entertain it, it grows bigger. And if you're like, what is the, whatever, the word to God. But what I'm getting at is that he reminded me again that God's purpose in our trials and tribulations, temptations, and for me to remember this, is that he's not going to take them all away all the time. And the very psalm that John had in his, the Psalm 23, verse 5 says, he prepares a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. He doesn't take them away. And I find myself just not realizing what I'm doing, like saying, when are they going to go away? And it's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. There's not going to be an absence of enemies, ever. And if there's no world in your vision, like world enemy or in my, I'm always with me. And my flesh is always there. So that's the challenge he has. He keeps me in, and I want to, I give him thanks that he reminds me of that, and I also give him thanks that because he is so sovereign, that all of the things that either I fail, that I have, or just the way my attitude goes sour and south and every other way, he will even use that to bring attention to himself, how awesome he is, how something about him to highlight, showcase him. And I just give him thanks that that's the case, because in everything is contained in his system, in his control. There's no anomalies that are floating out there like free radicals you have to get rid of in your body. There is none of those. He's got them all contained. And I also want to say thank you to your church group as being patient with me, because when I'm sober, I realize when I'm sober my thinking. Yeah, you're not with me all the time, so you don't know. And I have experienced a bit of tipsiness this past year anyway. And the point is, when I say sober, you can be drunk on anything. It doesn't have to be wine or beer or alcohol. It's anything that's not God that's taking over your thinking. So what I mean is, in sober moments, I realize that I'm not as great and awesome as I think I am. And what I'm meaning is, it's very easy for me to think that, even not even thinking about it, that everything revolves around me. And then I start, like, things, I can't rest. And so, God, I'm just saying I appreciate the patience that you all have with me. And that's a thanks. And that I do, I really thank God that he is the only God. And that all of our other gods that we make up or create or are out there, they're not real. They're not real. And let's praise the Lord that they're not real. There's one true living God. And I just say thank you to him for that.
Okay, I'll riff off of that and be brief. We serve the great God, the eternal, the infinite, and when we were singing the song "Lover of My Soul," I was just thinking, like, how can that be true? It is so beyond my understanding. And then recently in Psalm 106, I was reading just verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good; his faithful love endures forever. And then this thing: who can declare the Lord's mighty acts? Or who can proclaim all the praise that is due him? And we're deficient even in that, but God gives us grace, and we can declare the Lord's mighty acts and proclaim his praise. And somehow he embraces that and loves us and wants to have dinner with us.
When Jesus walked the earth, he healed a man that was demon possessed and thrown the demons into the pigs, and they went and drowned themselves. And when this man wanted to get in the boat and said, "No, go to your own country and tell all the good things that God has done for you." Also, John the Baptist, when he was discouraged in prison, he sent a man and said, "Are you the one we sent, or should we send someone else?" Jesus told him that the lame is healed, the blind see their sight, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached, the kingdom is done. Go encourage him, okay? Okay, in light of thinking of these things, it's like, Lord, what I'm seeing in these scriptures, what you're telling me is that I need to, or I want, should want to tell all the good things that the Lord has done for me, you know? And so, you know, I'm confessing, Lord, I've been in a mode of actions speak louder than words. So, you know, as long as I'm doing the Christian walk and this kind of thing, and well, maybe perhaps they by osmosis or something, they can hear the word. Well, it's not the case. I mean, it's like, you know, like Paul said, the love of Christ compels us. It's being so enamored with Jesus, so enthralled with our precious jewel, that the overflow of the heart speaks. Okay, so Lord, how does that work in my life? Okay, what are some of the things that I have seen you do that are so wonderful, so marvelous, that it cannot be explained but you, Lord Jesus? 3 times in my life, and I confess I've never told this to a lost soul that I know of. It's always Christians. So that's going to need a change. All right, so the first one was when I was in Indianapolis catching a flight home. There was a man, that looks like Dr. Chet Strelo. Okay, Dr. Chet Strelo used to have a clinic in Ottawa, and he mended my foot. I mean, my leg when I broke my, I fell out of a tree, and because my doctor, anyway, there he was, and he looked up, Dale, what you doing here? So, it is, you know, so, one, orchestrated, and he'd moved away, so this is one in traveling. I would have never otherwise, you know, no need to, you know. The second was when I went to see my parents in Colorado. I flew into Colorado Springs from Indianapolis. And on the way back, transferring to the plane to Denver, to Indianapolis, walked right by and there was a produce man in the same grocery store as I did on vacation. That's two, you know, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, it's just a little tiny. Oh, it could happen by chance, but okay. The third one was without a shadow of doubt. It had to be of the Lord. It was, Dale, I'm going to bless you and your dad in ways that you cannot understand other than Christ Jesus. Okay, my mom passed away, and my dad and I, we went to a bus trip, one of those tours where you go and see the fall foliage and ride some trains in Colorado. Okay. Well, we went to Garden City, and they said, stop at McDonald's here, stay about 45 minutes to an hour, just hang on, when we get the bus, we're ready to go. So the new friends and I, we was playing a game of cards, and I had the cards and time to go, so I was busy putting them away and went in the restroom and walking out, and in walked Dave and Bonnie Guys. Dale, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And camping buddies of my folks that they spent for several years, and they were tired coming from Oklahoma, and had the timing been just off in the slightest bit, I would have never known that they were there. Well, let's go tell Dad, you know, and hi, and we hugged real fast and everything. So this is testimonies of what God has done, and maybe by God's grace, I can use these as a catalyst to say, God loves you and have a perfect plan for your life and has a loving concern for your welfare. Because I've got proof here, you know, it's just without a shadow of doubt. God is alive. He loves you and he has a loving concern for your life and he's going to bless you so much.
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about my family's adventure this year. We started off the year living in Wisconsin, and we were in southwest Wisconsin where I had worked for about 8-9 years at a small family-operated mining company there. And originally, we had actually moved to the area to help start a church that was being planted in the area. So originally we had only meant to stay there a couple years, but because I found some really good work, and God provided some great circumstances. We were there for a long time. And it was back then, that was just a huge testimony to how we trusted God as we went there to Wisconsin, and he provided just really totally, I could go into detail, just beyond what we could ever ask for or imagine is the way I'd put it. But kind of fast forwarding through that time, after we started having kids and our family began to grow, I just really felt like God was putting it on my heart more and more to help my kids have a path to really learning who God is in their life, like what he wants them to do, and just really having kind of a path ahead of them to feel like they could pursue the things that he's putting on their hearts, and then I could, as a father, help them to grow in those things. And it was kind of hard to, just because of my work situation and some other things in Wisconsin, it was hard to do that. And I just, a couple years ago, began just asking God to provide, you know, hey, will you, provide a way that we can make this work? And so, again, kind of fast forwarding a little bit, in the spring of this past year, I had sent a resume out to a company here in Kansas City, and I had been going back to school and kind of doing some other things to find some other work throughout the country. The mining industry is kind of interesting because, you really have to live like, a lot of times it's in the middle of like the Nevada desert, and it's just not a great place to raise your family. But I was, to make a long story short, I just really felt like God had put on my heart that, this would be a great place. Actually, there's a company here in Kansas City that I sent a resume to, and that it would be a great place to end up. And so I had sent them some information and talked to them a little bit, and they kind of wrote back and said, "Yeah, we're not really interested in you." So, it was amazing though. A little bit later in the spring, I just felt like God prompted me to write again to them, and so I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I wrote them again, and I said, "You know, you're not going to be disappointed by what I bring to your team and some things like that." And then in May, they called me one day and said, we want you to work for us just for the summer, and we want you to start right away, like a week. And so we picked up our family and moved from La Crosse, Wisconsin, within a week, basically down here, and set up camp for the summer. And again, there's a lot of details you could go into about how God just kind of lined those things up. But it did work out, and now I'm working for them full time here after the summer in Kansas City. It's a great way I can stay connected to my kids because the office is close to our home and some things like that that were very difficult before. But the point is that I just really felt like God put that on my heart, and we had to take some risks, but we pursued it, and even through some periods where I felt like I didn't hear God right because it didn't work out, he still kind of came back and made what seemed like, an impossible thing happen and work out. And so I just wanted to kind of encourage the group with that, if God's putting something on your heart, and you just kind of pursue him and take those risks, that he comes through and he's faithful. So, yeah.
I'm glad to follow Evan because I was just talking to his mother-in-law, Mary Jo, who's with us today, and telling her that there's a family in our church, the Taylors, who are very, very dear to us all, and Amy's getting married next Saturday, and so they're going to move down towards Wichita which will be a wonderful thing, I think. But it's going to be like a big hole in our church. And I said to Mary Jo, but you know what? God has just moved a family here with four children. And this is like such perfect timing because, and we didn't know if they'd be back after this summer, but here they are. And, you know, it's just, you know, it wasn't just for you that you came down here. We really needed a family with four children.
Just want to give praise and thanks to God for this past 1.5 year. Since our life changed 180 degree. some of you have heard about, I share about our challenges in this 1.5 year and things like that. But now I want to give praise and thanks to God in many ways that we saw. But right before we went to China, last June, end of May we went, in March, and we knew earlier Carlos would lost his job with Sprint, and then, but he got another job right before we went to China, just a couple of weeks, and that new job gave the opportunity to for him to leave, even though he just became, was employed, and was able to give him the time off, and that was God's grace. And then along the way, from there, in China, we met with Wen Ying Zhiduan and Jerry and Min, and many things we saw, and God shows us grace, His grace through people, through many people, and as you know, when we applied to adopt, we applied for two children at once. But in every way, God gave us one, Kai, this time, and we were really thankful, especially when we got him. That few days, we were like, God, thank you, just one. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty chaotic. You know, us being just us without any parenting experience or anything. But we later, you know, I'm in the adoption Facebook group and everything. We read other story and everything. I was telling Carlos, it was not that hard for us reading other people's story and everything. So, and I have share our challenges and everything. We still have challenges, you know. Raising Kai and as a parent, I mean, as parents, we just ongoing and maybe some of you remember when Kai first came, and we have some video too that we looked back when we were in China. His legs were not very strong. Maybe he was in a foster care. So maybe he was in a small apartment or something, so he didn't get to run around that much. You can see how he likes to run and everything now. So his legs were kind of weak, not very, you know, not very strong. But then we had a doctor physical after he turned 4, which is a couple weeks ago, we had the four-year check. And the doctor said that, look at those legs. They are so strong and everything. So just give grace to God, and you know he has built up muscles and like to run and be active and everything, even though that's a challenge for me. So and then also we saw like the video that when not long after he came home, you know, when he first came home, he can't even say mama. He loves to talk. He loves to, you know, make noise, babbling and everything. A lot of noise, but he cannot even say mama. Now, he can speak with me in Chinese in a lot of things. And then he's picking up English a lot too. Nowadays, he can understand a lot, but even though you can't really understand him speaking in English too much. But Yes, he loves to say thank you. And, you know, yesterday when Blaine shared about extrovert, introvert and everything, and he is not the middle, whatever you call that. He's not the middle. He is the extrovert, you know. He likes to, he's not content with, for me, when I drive into my garage, to my driveway, if our neighbors are out there, I'm content just to say hi. But he's not content of just to say hi. He has to get out from the car, go to the, at least, he wants to go to their house, okay? But he has to go to the driveway. Hi, Mr. Bill, hi! He has to at least go out to the driveway to say hi. So he's the extrovert one. So we're thankful for that. We're, like I say, we're thankful for one at that time, even though we were approved for two. So I see God's hand in leading everything. And so since we applied for two last time, so we were thinking about two. So we're thinking about the next one, but we were not sure. Someday I say, yeah, we can go for it. Some days I say, no, one is good. I don't know if I can handle another one. But God knows. I think sometimes, you know, I pray when I have my alone time, I pray and I say, we just have to be willing. And God will take care of everything. If that's God's will, when is the second one coming? If God wants us to adopt a second one. So praise God.
As much as I dislike microphones, I really wanted to get up here and thank you all. I'm gonna start crying already. For being here. These last few years have been really hard. And especially this last year. You guys have just been here for all of us, and I don't know what I would have done without you guys. So I just wanted to share a little of what God's been doing in my own life, if I can get through it. But these last 2 years, God has been challenging me to give thanks for the situations that I face. I've been thinking a lot about how before the Last Supper, when Jesus broke the bread and poured the wine, he gave thanks. And the Greek word, which I'm not going to try and pronounce, the Greek word for gave thanks involves the word for grace. And translated, it literally means to give thanks for God's good grace. So, as Jesus broke the bread and poured the wine, in the breaking of his own body, he looked into it and he saw God's grace and he gave thanks. And that's been really hard for me to do. There's been several times where I haven't seen God's grace, and I haven't known how to give thanks. And you guys have been the ones to face me in my brokenness and to look into my blind spots, and you see God's grace, and you've prayed for me and given thanks for me when I didn't know how to. You've cried for me when I couldn't anymore, which is saying something because I cry a lot. And you've been the living word of God to me in so many ways. So I'm just really grateful to you. When I come to church on Sunday and when I go to youth group, you usually see me on my worst days, because the rest of the week, while I have to keep doing life, even though I'm not okay, you make space for my brokenness, and you make space for me to meet God's healing hand in my brokenness. So I'm grateful for what God's doing through you guys and in you guys. When Jesus broke the bread and he poured the wine, he said, do this continually, again and again and again. And you guys are the ones that show up each week at church and you break the bread and you pour the wine and you let God do this with your lives. You're the ones that live broken and given for God, for each other. And your bravery makes me brave. Exactly 1 year from last year's retreat, and 1 year from when my dad passed away, the election is coming up, and I'm excited for what God's going to do through you in this time. And I'm praying that our faith would be strengthened. And you know, I was talking with Mrs. Swigard about the election, and she was pointing out that God is still God, no matter the outcome. And he's still our Father who loves to give us good gifts. And he is giving us maybe the best thing he could ever give us is himself. And he is continually giving himself. And I pray that we would continually be giving ourselves broken back to God. Thank you guys so much.
So last year, I kept finding myself making lists of good things that were happening because I was not sad when 2015 ended. I was like, thank goodness. Like, we need to get this over with. This has been a really hard year. You know, there were a lot of weddings last year, which was great. The Royals won, which was great. But apart from that, I was just like, 2015, go away. I hate you. Physically, I was just really sick. I was just thinking this morning, like, that I've changed. Like, the difference between how I was last year at this retreat and how I am this year is shocking and disturbing and hilarious. All of it. And I don't know that I've shared with you the amazing things that happened, just even with my work situation. Because I was working at the bakery at this time last year, and that was like the 5 a.m. shift, and it was awful. And it just really takes a toll on your body, and I was already sick. But if you know me, you know I don't give up easily, even when I should. And I tend to go until I literally pass out, and that literally happened. And so I had a point last, probably August, where I thought, I need to quit this job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to go. But I said, but I told my boss on the spur of the moment, I need to quit. I'm going to give you my notice. My last day is in like 6 months. I give her like a 6 month notice. I have a bad habit of that, of like giving way too much notice for what I'm going to do. So I was like, my last day will be Christmas Eve. And then I'm going to look for something else. And she offered me the job again like 3 more times, raising my pay till she said, I'll give you $11. You can come in whenever you want, which is huge in a bakery world. It's either you either have to open or you have to close, and both of those options are terrible. So so she was offering me more than she'd offered anybody else in the store at that time, except for maybe Judy, because she's amazing. But anyway, so I was like, no, I need to find something else. I need to go a different direction. So I was applying for nannying positions, and I never got a single call back. And then I thought, oh, what about – and I realized that you can apply at a preschool, and you don't have to have a degree. And I was like, oh, cool, you know. I don't know anything, but I can go work there. And so I applied, and within an hour I had a call for an interview. And I was kind of like, all right, this is cool. So I was very excited. And this was last January. So I'd quit my job. I didn't have anything ahead of me. I was back at home with my parents, living in the basement, sleeping a lot. You know, basically your deadbeat 30-year-old person who doesn't do anything. And I was trying to find a job. And I was just thinking about it. And then I was like, man, I don't have a job. This is terrible. I love sleep, but goodness, I need to get a job. So anyway, I went to this interview. And the first interview, I got like three within that first day. I applied to several preschools. I got three interviews lined up. So I went to the first one. I was like, man, this is a great place. The atmosphere is good. Because if you walk into a preschool and there's a lot of screaming, that's a bad sign. But it was just happy when I walked in there. And so had a good interview. The lady really seemed to like me. And then I went to other interviews, got an offer from one. They're like, yeah, we want to pay you $8 an hour. And I was sitting there on the phone waiting for the crickets because it was so awkward. I was like, $8 an hour? What? You know, like how are you supposed to live on $8 an hour? Anyway, so I was like, well, I'm not going to say yes right now because that's not as much as I would need to be able to do my job well. And I was on my way to my third interview, and I got a call from the very first place and said, we want to offer you a job, and we want to start you at $11.50, which was what I had asked for because I thought, if my boss wants to get at the bakery wants to give me $11 an hour, maybe God can give me $11 somewhere else because that seemed like a good amount to me. And, like, we want to start you at $11.50. So I'm, like, on the road driving, and I'm like, yes, you know, hands off the wheel. Like, I'm not driving very well at this point. I'm just like, yes, yes. Like, oh, thank you. Well, I'm going to another interview right now. I'm playing it cool, but inside I'm, like, you know, doing cartwheels while I'm driving. Like, yeah, it was bad. But I went to the third place, and they didn't actually offer me a job, but I ended up taking the job at the Goddard School, which is where I am now. And the amount of joy that I've had in this job, and it's been hard too, because let's face it, children are little sinners. But the amount of joy that God has given me in this job has been amazing, and I love it so much. And it's just been awesome. Just think, I hadn't actually thought about how much my life has changed since last year at this time. And I am so blessed, and I'm so excited for what the future holds. And I still want the Royals to win again, but that's not happening yet. But God knows what we need. You can cast your cares on Him. And even in the middle of really hard things, He can lead you to nothing and then to greater things than you would have imagined. So, thank you.
I was just going to echo a little bit of what my sister Sabeth said. I really appreciate all of you guys' support over the last year. It's meant a lot, and I don't know what I would have done without it. God has been really good over this last year, and a few years ago, if I had ever thought that I would go through something like that, I would have thought it would have gotten so much worse than it did. But this year has been a year that God has taught me some of the most things, and in a way it has been one of the worst years of my life, but in a way it has been one of the best years of my life, because I have learned a lot of things about Him, and He is very, very good. And also, I wanted to just thank you guys again. And some of you know I'm really bad at giving myself grace, so thank you for giving me grace when I wasn't giving myself grace. So yeah, just thank you guys a lot.
Johnny said something in his sermon a couple of weeks ago that I really liked. Well, a lot of things, but this one thing particularly. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his annoying and strange sheep. And I've been through the various sermon series that we've had this year. I think especially the one on Ruth, where it focused on God's chesed love for us and what that means, the love with no exit ramps. I just realized how utterly bizarre and insane in some ways it is that God would love us, because we're not lovable people oftentimes. I know I'm not anyway. And the fact that God loved us so much that he would commit to us no matter what, to do whatever he had to redeem us from being this strange, annoying, weird, rebellious people who didn't love him at all or want anything to do with him, but that he would commit himself to come after us and pull us out of that and make us into people who could receive his love and then love other people the way that he loves us. That's something that has continually amazed me this year, and I'm very thankful for it.
I think we're wanting to transition into pastor's Q&A time, but on the other hand, I would enjoy continuing what we've been doing here for another several hours or indefinitely. I love the opportunity to experience a window into one another's lives and to hear just from the heart how God has been working. And this is precious. And if any of you out there were thinking, I really need to share something during this time and I haven't had a chance to yet, then here's one last chance before we do transition into Pastor's Q&A. Anyone? Chelsea.
This has been a year of firsts, my first year of marriage, and then also a year of, I would probably just have to say, repeat offenses by life. But I'm very thankful for people in this church who I would say are already really proficient at being hospitable and who pursue us as individuals in our health, the health of my husband and our marriage, even when we are putting up rude levels of resistance. So I'm thankful for you all this year.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Come, Amy.
I told Ken that's okay. I'll just take over Evidences of Grace because it kind of fits into both. I feel like testimony is evidence of God's grace, and maybe evidence of grace time is for grace of God in people around you, right? So I will try to limit it to God's grace right now. I really resonate, Tabby, with what you said about seeing a huge difference. I found that over the last 2 years, as I reached a year from a specific marker, it was a lot easier to look back and see where God had brought me from. And so when you said that, I started thinking about what I was this last year, at the retreat last year. And I remember being just barely holding it together. Like, I could take care of my children sometimes, most of the times, but I was not a stable provider or confident or feeling like I saw God's abundance in my life yet. I felt like he was providing on a very, like, almost like a baby bird, like this bite in your mouth, because this is the bite you need right now, this bite, this person right here, this moment with me. And just a few things that I see different is that
over the last year, I feel like he's grown me up as a Christian, of showing me who he is. And so instead of knowing the God that I've always known my whole life to be the God of the Bible, like maybe the God of the Old Testament, who then sent Jesus, and somehow it all crashed together to be one. But it's like he took apart my perspective of who he was based on the environment I was raised in, and showed me himself in a very personal way of walking with me in my suffering, and then placing my identity in him. I've never felt so grounded in myself as a Christian under God's care. It's like he kept me. There's a psalm, you shared it, I can never remember the reference. It has a seven in it. You shared it at a prayer meeting maybe a year, year and a half ago, about God bringing us under his wings and keeping you there until you sing for joy. That's my paraphrase. But I love the picture of God bringing me and my little family under his wings of refuge, and tucking us up like a mother bird in a storm, but then to hold you there when the storm's passed until you're singing for joy in his safety. And I feel like that's where we're at this year. We're about to walk into a huge change, another thing that God's doing in our lives. I really feel like he's brought his grace through Jason to be a dad to my sons and a husband to me, and to show me God's love in yet another way that I've never experienced, of seeing how Christ can be glorified in a marriage, and how Christ can be glorified through an incarnate father just loving his children unconditionally. And Jason has 5 children of his own also, so we're going to be the Brady Bunch. We'll have 9. His oldest daughter doesn't live with us, so we'll have 8 under 12 in our house. But watching the way he parents his children and the way he loves my children just breaks my heart over and over, of seeing God's love for me in a new way as a father to my children. I mean, I had a wonderful dad, so it's not like I've never seen a father's true good love, but to see it with your children, it's a whole new vulnerability, and it's incredible. So I feel like we've kind of been on the outskirts because it's a long-distance relationship. Jason's just not around a whole lot up here, and I'm not around a whole lot down there either. But I want you to hear that testimony from me, that God's taking me to a new level of knowing him and a new level of healing and growth, and seeing his beauty in the way he designed creation to reflect him, and he designed us to reflect his character. And really, through the hospitality of all of you, I've seen, no, this is evidence of grace, I've seen little bits of God, and I expect to continue seeing that. But my testimony is just that in a year of growth and stability coming, it's been really beautiful to see God in new ways, and to see his faithfulness and his provision. One more quick story. I threw a fit about a month ago for God. I was having a really bad day of just feeling like I'm going to struggle forever. There's never going to be an easy moment where I can just, it was particular about finances. I can never just pay my bills with a budget because I have an income. Like, it's all over the place, God. Like, and as I went to the bank, honestly pouting, because I had to deposit money from a savings, from money that a lot of you were part of providing this funds for us to live off of, I was pouting that I had to use this. And I was like, what am I doing? God, you saw my need months before it was going to happen in this moment, and you saw fit to provide it before I had to get stressed or actually struggle to have your provision shown to me. It's sitting in my hands. And I suddenly realized that our God is so generous that he owns 1,000 hills with 1,000 cattle, but he put 2 in my yard just to hang out until I needed the meat, you know? And I was actually complaining that I had to eat it because I was hungry. I was like, how ridiculous are we sometimes to feel like something is ours just because God let it park in our yard for a little while early? But so it was really cool. Anyway, okay, I'm done.
Let's pray. Praise to you, Father God, for the goodness of your ways and your good work in our lives here. Many more testimonies, stories of your grace could be shared. We thank you for these that we've heard, and we praise you as our Lord, lover of our souls, the one to whom we belong and whom we serve. We are glad to belong to you, and also glad to belong to one another in Christ. Amen.